Welcome to the Philharmonic Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 8:57 Greenwich Mean Time. Today is February 26th. Well, today in Europe, the markets follow through to the downside, and the political impasse in Italy remains the central focus of attention, particularly within Europe. The MIB in Italy was down 4.89%. It vacillated somewhat during the day, but finished on the lows of the day. The IBEX in Spain was down 3.2%, and that's also where we had the biggest expansion in government bond spreads. So the Italian spread has widened by about 20% in the last week. And that gives us an indication of just how sensitive the markets are to the fact that it is difficult, regardless of what politicians agree to at conference tables, to actually get their respective populations to accept. And that's been the weak link to the Eurozone crisis from the beginning, because we can't have a guarantee that various populations are going to accept the type of austerity in the absence of currency devaluation that is currently being presented, when they have in the past always relied on currency devaluation to solve their problems. And certainly in the UK, the fact that the pound has fallen so abruptly in the last number of months can be viewed as an pressure release valve for policymakers, which is not available to a number of those Eurozone countries. When we look at the political impasse, then regardless of which group of parties eventually forms a government, they're going to be presented with the hard reality of government bond spreads widening. And Italy has got a mind-boggling debt-to-GDP ratio, which is only barely kept in check by the fact that its budget deficit is one of the lowest in the Eurozone. So they really can't afford, and they haven't got very much wiggle room at all. And that virtually ensures that the reforms that Monti introduced in the last 18 months are really going to stay there. But it does introduce the prospect of political paralysis. And that means that the prospect of additional reforms are pretty unlikely. But until we have an actual new government in place, then this uncertainty and emotionality that has gripped markets in the last few days is likely to persist. And that means that there's likely to be some additional downward pressure on Italian and Spanish markets, additional upward pressure on government bond yields, and the financial sector is going to remain under pressure. And the Stoxx 50 is currently right back, the Euro Stoxx Banks Index is right back to the region of the 200-day moving average and the upper side of the underlying trading range. And if this were a normal situation, this is where we would anticipate that supply would be overwhelmed by demand coming back into the market. Really, we're going to need some form of catalyst for that to happen on this occasion. But this is an interesting area, and if in a best-case scenario, we do get some additional action, potentially by the ECB, to say that provided, and I think probably what is most likely, is that the ECB is going to wait until it has an answer to the political question before it makes monetary policy available to whoever the new government is. Because at the moment, Frankfurt must be thinking about who do we call if we want to call Rome. The fact that this has spilled over into other European markets, and that the corrective phase which we'd been warning about has been primarily focused in Europe, is a rather interesting circumstance. It does suggest that the wider global economy is relatively healthy, and the relative strength of Wall Street is really quite remarkable. But at the same time, when we look at, for example, the Dow Jones, it has posted the conditions for downside Q reversals twice since this time last week. And at a minimum, that suggests a pause. And the market has basically been going sideways for much of the last month. And that has unwound at least part of the overbought condition relative to the 200-day moving average. But we can't rule out the possibility that, it is going to pull back a little bit more swiftly as this process progresses. And in Asia, there are a number of those ASEAN markets which have become really quite overextended relative to the 200-day moving averages. And we can look at them and say that they have had such a remarkable advance and look at their relative strength. But also, considering that they are that overextended relative to their MAs, it does suggest that the likelihood of the next reversion towards the mean is really quite a bit closer than might be the case if they were acting in isolation. And in China, the market continues to pull back and to unwind the overbought condition that had developed in the last couple of months. And China has moved into a tightening position, and it's attempting to rein in property speculation. And the market was down today by about 1.5%. And the Hang Seng was down about 1.3%. And provided the A-share market finds support, and considering that it had such a powerful rally, that it's not beyond the bounds that it does have a sharp pullback and still find support in the region of the 200-day moving averages. But the focus of the easing policy from late last year was on the banking sector, and the focus of tightening in the last few weeks has also been on the banking sector. And it is interesting also, and probably notable, that the majority of lending in China happens in the first quarter. So it's very much front-loaded. So when we look at what's being done at present to rein in that lending, there is the possibility that it gets let out again in the latter half of the year. But until we start to see evidence of bank leadership once more, and of course banks are by far the largest sector on the A-share, then we won't have conclusive evidence that the higher reaction low that would confirm a return to medium-term demand dominance is in. The Nikkei was down today by about 2.25%, and considering how much the yen had strengthened yesterday, it really could have been down quite a bit more. And in here today, the yen was a bit weaker once more. So the trend of the yen's devaluation remains in place. And despite the increased volatility that we're presented with at present, the Nikkei continues to look like it is going to appreciate further over the medium term. And gold is another interesting situation. It found support last week in the region of 1550, and it has rebounded as of the close today to 1614. And that's reasonably close to the high of the day. Gold has been subject to quite a degree of bearish commentary in the last couple of weeks, not least because it fell so abruptly from 1700 and gave up $150 in a very swift period of time. And the holdings of ETFs has pulled back very sharply. Now, ETF holdings weren't a major consideration 10 years ago, largely because their respective impact on the market was pretty negligible. But as gold gained popularity and as investment band demand increased, ETF holdings now represent one of the largest holdings of gold there is. So investors are having an increasingly powerful impact on this market. And I posted an article today which quotes a number of investment banks saying that the worm has turned and that we have entered, that the cycle for gold is over. And we have been ranging now for the better part of 18 months. So there is some weight to that argument. But in order to confirm it, we would need to see a sustained move below 1550. And we've had an impressive bounce. And if we take out the progression of lower rally highs that has been evident since late last year, that'll be an additional sign that we're starting to see a reaccumulation of gold, and that the extremely bearish sentiment that has been expressed over the last week is truly a contrary indicator. And the rebound that we've had is certainly suggesting that some short covering is currently taking place and that people are starting to reassess. We'll have to see gold find support above 1550 on the next pullback to suggest that demand is returning at a progressively higher level, and it will have to break that short-term progression of lower rally highs and get back above the 200-day moving average, then back above 1700 and then back above 1800 to really start to suggest that we're back into an accumulation phase for gold. And platinum today had an impressive rally off its lows. At one point today, it was trading at $1,581. And as of the close, it's back up to $1,622 and up marginally on the day. And palladium, while down very slightly on the day, closed $17 off its low. So we've had a bounce on the precious metals. And they are perhaps the most, or they were among the most oversold categories in the last couple of weeks. And we're starting to see some of the overbought conditions in stock markets being unwound. And government bonds, which had been under quite a bit of pressure over the last couple of months, particularly as stock markets rallied on consecutive weeks, really rallied very impressively in here today. And gilts were up by 1.5 points, and bunds a bit less than that, but still up well in excess of a full point. And US Treasuries are back up to 145, and JGBs perhaps had the biggest rally of all. So yields have fallen back for these what are considered safe haven type investments. And this short-term strength in the government bond markets is likely to persist as long as this Italian situation remains in place. However, if the Italian situation is curtailed and the positivity towards the US economy continues and the Chinese situation returns to a more stable outlook, then there won't be half the need for these safe havens, and we'll start to see yields starting to rise once more. And perhaps the most important thing to watch is whether the progression of higher reaction lows on those yields holds, despite this recent strength that we've had. And I think with that, I will leave you for the evening, and I'll wish all the best to all of you.